بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا داعيًا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجًا منيرًا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم: أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers, sisters, elders, Alhamdulillah, we are also very happy and delighted to welcome back into our community our dear brother and somebody from whom I have learnt a lot myself in many ways, not only Islamically, Dr. Khalid Zamzami. And inshallah, I want you all to be behind me when I am going to ask him to now share some of the burden of the khutab in this masjid, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, today we are on the sixth of the series of lectures, Why Islam? Because Islam works. And this is the concluding one for this series, inshallah. And I want to conclude with the subject of consultative decision making, which is Al-Majlis Ashura. We have been talking about that for the last 3 weeks. We saw why Shura is important. We saw also the method of conducting it. And we know that it's important first and foremost because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed it and ordered it, and because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used it throughout his life in all sorts of situations, and therefore it is something which is full of barakah, and it's one of the most powerful methods that I know of gaining consensus in any matter. Now today, in conclusion, I want to teach you two tools that are essential for the shura to work. And they are goal focus and active listening. Goal focus and active listening. I assure you that if you learn these two and you practice them, then your shura will be successful no matter how difficult or contentious the issue may be, inshallah. I recommend shura in my business consulting practice as well, especially for large family businesses where they have a matrix organization structure instead of a pyramidal structure, and where designations really have no meaning because at the board level everybody is related to everybody else. So you can call him what you want, he's my brother. You can call him what you want, he's my cousin. So therefore, all authority has to come from the person himself or herself, and that is where the shura is such an important tool. This is also the case in most NGOs and especially in masjid boards where members are all volunteers and mostly unpaid. And so persuasion and consensus and mutual commitment becomes even more important than in a business organization. Nobody has any, you can call yourself president of the board, big deal, so what? What does it mean? Right? You have no executive authority. And so therefore, if you want to function in the role, then you have to know how to win the hearts of people. If you don't know that, you will fail, no matter what you call yourself. Interestingly, having said this, I have found Shura to work wonderfully well even in the uniformed services, in police and security services, the military, many of whom I also consult with, where they actually have the authority of rank. So there is very strong executive authority. Even there, Shura works wonders, because after all, if you think about it, who had more direct authority than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself with the Sahaba? Who had more direct authority than that? The word of the Nabi is literally law. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an instruction, if somebody refused to obey that, then they were exiled from Islam. So there is no authority which is superior to that. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make shura with the Sahaba. And that's because behind the business suit or behind the turban or behind whatever, behind the uniform is a human being. And all human beings need to be persuaded and convinced to give their best. And for that, it is essential to get consensus on the issue. The shura is the best way to do that. Now, here are the tools. The first one, goal focus. Simple as it seems, as it means, stay focused on the goal. Why are you in this meeting? Now, this is especially important if there are divergent opinions and the discussion tends to get contentious. What must you do? Draw the attention of the people back to the goal. Remind them that they are in the meeting. That the meeting is not about proving who is the smartest, but about solving the problem using everyone's smartness. It's not about me versus you, but about me plus you plus you plus you versus the problem. And success is only when the problem has been solved, not when you have made your point, no matter how wisely you think you made that, no matter how eloquently you think you made that. If the problem still remains, meeting is not successful. We all come to every meeting with our different expertise, experience, skill sets, and we need to remember and remind ourselves that each is important and necessary for all to succeed in achieving the result. I know we all pay lip service to this. The issue is, do you really believe that? And whether you really believe that or not will be visible in the actions. To give you an example, it's like several mechanics coming together to restart an engine. And I've actually seen this happening in very large power generation projects, huge engines which have stopped. And you need different kinds of mechanics. I mean, there's a mechanical engineer who comes there, there is an electrical engineer who comes there is a fuel engineer who comes there. So these are different mechanics with completely different set of tools. Each comes with his unique toolkit. No mechanic will ever tell another one that his tools are unnecessary and that he must get out of the way or use the tools given to him by yourself. I mean, even suggesting that is like a joke. No mechanic will ever do that. Why? Because they know, if I am a mechanical engineer, I know that I need this electrical engineer. Without him, my expertise becomes zilch. And I need that fuel guy there. Without him, nothing's going to happen. We know this. So we will not try to push our way. We will not try to say, no, forget about your tools, you know. No. I need you, you need me, and that is, you don't have to say that, it is visible in our actions. So therefore, every mechanic that goes to that meeting goes with his unique toolkit and his unique skill set, and the focus of that whole team is only one. And what is that? Start the engine. Start the engine. If the engine starts, we are successful. If the engine doesn't start, I don't care what string of degrees I come with. I don't care if my toolkit is worth $1 million. the engine did not start. Same logic for every meeting. And therefore, always keep the focus on the goal. Now, as I said to you before, this might seem like it's obvious, but if you have ever run a meeting, and there are many of you here I know who have run many meetings, you know how easily the focus shifts from the goal to the other person. And then emotions come into play, ego comes into play, especially when there are conscious or unconscious rivalries and dislikes and tensions. And objectivity takes a backseat, and one-upmanship and scoring points becomes the game. Even if this does not go all the way down to the meeting breaking up, it certainly impacts the goal, which is to solve whatever you came to solve, negatively. It's therefore essential to keep the goal in focus. Now, people use different methods. The simplest is to periodically remind everyone about the reason for the meeting, which is the goal. Now, this can be done by the leader, but believe me, I tell people, anybody. If you are not the leader, if you are just a member in the meeting, but you see things are going, feel free to say, we are here to solve this problem. Don't say, well, you know what, this is the job of the leader. No, it's the job of everyone who's interested in the outcome of that meeting to remind everybody that we are here to solve a problem. I have seen some people, they print out the goal in giant letters on a chart paper and they post it where everybody can see that. Do whatever works for you. There is no one, you know, method for everyone. But make sure that you always ensure that people keep the goal in focus. And remember, the more diverse the group, the more this will become necessary. Diversity is a huge strength, provided you know how to use it. Otherwise, diversity becomes the reason for conflict. We need diversity, but just uniformity is not a good thing. Because in a uniform, when everybody is uniform, then you're not really bringing divergent and diverse skills and experiences to the game, and that might be detrimental for you. So we need diversity, but diversity has to be managed. If you can't manage it, it derails you. And the way to manage diversity is to focus on the one thing which is common for everyone in that room. That's the reason I am there. That's the reason you are there and you are there. And that is what? To solve that problem. And that is the meaning of goal focus. And this has to be done actively. And that is what I recommend. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, we spoke about the first of the two tools, which is goal focus. Let's look at the second one, and that is called active listening. Now, both of these, incidentally, are not only excellent tools for shura meetings, but they're also excellent conflict resolution tools. I have used these tools in management and union meetings, wage negotiations with militant communist unions in Guyana and India, and in arbitrations in family businesses, where with excellent results. Now, active listening. What it does is it forces people to seriously consider the perspective of the other party, leading to an amicable and often quick resolution of the issue. The normal tendency of people when listening to anyone who they consider to be a rival or an adversary or an opponent or other in some way or the other, or when they are listening to something which they may not like or they may disagree with, is right in the beginning, we call this in communication language, we call this trigger phrases. Right in the beginning, before the person has even finished speaking, you just pick up a phrase and then you shut down your hearing and you start manufacturing a response. Right? Now, this is a very strong, very powerful unconscious process, enormously powerful unconscious process, which by definition is unconscious. So, we are unaware of it unless we are trained to observe ourselves, which most people are not. And therefore, this just takes us away. Hearing shuts down, listening shuts down, and now you're busy manufacturing a response. And I've even seen cases where when the person responds, it's a completely out of context response because that person didn't even say that. You just picked up a trigger phrase in the beginning and you manufactured a response based on that. But the person's his statement after that was something else. So you end up looking like a fool in the process because you were too quick, you know, shooting from the hip kind of thing. So therefore, active listening is the defense against this. Now, it's a tool that ensures that you cannot stop listening, but instead that you are compelled to listen and to share your understanding with the other person. Now, there are three steps to active listening. Number one, making a conscious intention to listen. I want to listen. Number two is to focus on what the speaker is saying and to remember it. Number three is to paraphrase, which is to share with the speaker how you understood them. You're not repeating their words. How did you understand them? To share that with them. And then go by whether they agree or not. Let's look at the three things very quickly. Number first one is intention. As in everything else, everything begins with the intention. In this case, the conscious intention to listen. So ask yourself, do I need to listen? Do I want to listen? If the answer is no to either of these, do yourself a favor, go away. Right? Don't waste your time. Don't waste somebody else's time. This is far less painful and far more positive than sitting there without listening. So very important to do that. Remember that to listen, you must respect the speaker. Genuinely, not a matter of showing respect. You will never be able to listen to somebody you don't respect. It's not doable. You have to respect the person as an individual and respect what they are saying in terms of knowledge. Then automatically, listening happens. Second thing is, you must slow down your own mental process and stop your mind from thinking of responses and listen to the speaker with great attention. And that is why I said you must first decide if you want to listen or not. Many times I give this example. I say listening is a sign of caring. And the example I give is that, say you have a small child, maybe a year old or something like this, and you have some guests who have come home, your friends have come, and you're all in the living room, and you're having a grand time, and you're, you know, chatting and talking and so on. Your little child is sleeping in the room next door, right, in the bedroom. That child makes a small sound in her sleep. Will you hear it? Will your wife hear it? Will the mother hear it? You bet. Right? You may not hear it. The woman will hear it. The mother will hear it. She's there with everybody, but she will hear it. Why? Because of the concern for the child. There's always an antenna which is pointing in that direction. That's listening. So therefore, if you care, if you respect, you will listen. Now, and that's why, otherwise your mind will wander and you will be distracted. Now, Rasulullah SAW used to turn and face a person who was speaking to him. He never spoke to somebody over his shoulder. Now, this was such a big part of his communication behavior that many Sahaba believed that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved them the most, because he would always face him and talk to him. And there's a true story which is amusing, and I think if I'm not mistaken, it is about Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. One day he was so convinced that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loves me that he decided to ask him. But he didn't want to ask him directly, "Ya Rasulullah, do you love me?" You know. So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, who do you love the most?" Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother." So now he said, "Well, you know, this is not going the way he wants." So he said, No, Ya Rasul, that's true, but you know, among the men, who do you love the most?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "The father of Aisha." So Amr ibn al-As said, "I decided to stop asking." He said, "I decided to stop asking," because he didn't want to, you know, go to the extent. What I'm saying is that this shows how much attention Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave in any communication. And that's why it's very important. Making an intention shows respect, builds trust, open hearts, and it shows sincerity. And you need to be sincere. It's not a game. And that is why game playing will destroy trust. Second thing is focus. Now, focusing consists of both physical and mental focus and the physical signaling of it. And I gave you an example of what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. Turning, facing the person, eye contact. A very good thing to do, which I always recommend, is to take notes. But when you take notes, tell people what you are doing. Say that I'm taking notes of this meeting. Because otherwise it's very distracting for people when they are talking to you that you are scribbling something. So always take permission and take notes, and then show the notes to the person and say, "This is what you were saying. This is what I have written. Is it okay?" Right? It builds trust even more because you are not hiding something. Now, it's very important to take notes, because no matter how good we think our memory is, it is not. And we forget things and we mix up things. And especially, as I said, if there are contentious issues, if there are controversial issues, this will happen even more. But if you write things down, always it is the best. Now, you might say, "How about I record it? I take permission from somebody and I turn on my phone or something." No, doesn't serve the same purpose. Writing forces you to pay attention. Recording does not. The phone is doing the job. Your mind can wander. And then when you are listening to the recording, you will have questions. Now, if you had been taking notes, you would have had the same question, but you would have clarified it then and there because the other person was there. But now you are listening to the phone recording some other time. Other person is not there. Your doubt is still there. So don't record. Write things down. Right? Last one is to check for understanding, which is paraphrasing. It's not a matter of repeating the words. It's a matter of saying, telling the person, "This is how I understood you. Is it correct?" Now, you might say, "Well, why should I do that? It's cumbersome." Yes, it is cumbersome. That's why most people don't do it. Why should you do it? Because we don't come with a digital readout here to tell us on the forehead to say what is going on, right? So I might say something to you, and you understand that as something else. I'll tell you a funny incident which happened with me. I was in India. A very good friend of mine, his office is about 5 minutes from my home. One day he called me. He said, "Yavar bhai, I have a very important thing to discuss with you. There is somebody here who I want you to meet. Can you please come to the office?" So I said, "Sure." But I didn't have a car. My wife had gone somewhere. So I said, "Can you send me your car?" He said, "Okay." So I got ready, I'm waiting for his car to come. It's 5 minutes past, 10 minutes past, half an hour passes. So I said, "Good, he must have solved his problem." Then he phoned me, he said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm here." He said, "Are we waiting for you?" I said, "Where's your driver?" He said, "Give me a minute." He came back, he was laughing. I said, "What happened?" He said, "You know, I told my driver, 'Yavar sahab ko lekar aao, wo ghar mein hai.' He said, 'Bring Yavar sahab, he's at home.' And my driver went to my home." Right? When he said, "Ghar mein hai," he said, "Apne ghar mein hai." Now, you might say, "Dumb driver, stupid driver, why does he go?" No, that's not the point. The point is, that driver had some logic. When he said, "Ghar mein hai," he said, "When he's at home," he didn't say, "He is in his home." Now, you might say, why must I tell you his home? Because
This guy is a very good friend of mine. We are in each other's house all the time. So he said, he thought maybe I am in his house. So point being that it's not a question of the misunderstanding is small or big. The issue is it can have serious consequences. Right? Yes, yesterday we had one here. Bilal is sitting here. Bilal sent me a message saying we were supposed to go somewhere and he said, I will pick you up. He said, I will be at your place at 3:30. So I want to confirm that message on my chat app. I should have selected reply, which would have shown the message coming from Bilal. Instead of that, I copied the message and I sent it to Bilal. So now what is he getting? He's getting a message from me saying, I will be at your place at 3:30. Mercifully, he sent me a message back saying, that's good, but if you want to pick me up, if you want me to pick you up, I am happy to do that. I'm saying, what? You are supposed to pick me up. But then I realized this is what I did. I copied it. So he's right. I mean, he was not misunderstanding. He was reading the message that. So, I mean, anyway, we clarified that. But the point I'm saying is that this is how communication can go wrong, even in so-called silly ways, but the results can be more serious. So very important to share what we understood. Now, how do you do that? Simply by saying, I understand you to be saying this. Is it correct? The person says correct. Go ahead. The person says wrong. Say, please, can you tell me what is the right one? He tells you. You go ahead. All right. So three things: intention, focus, and paraphrasing. Two tools: goal, focusing on the goal, and active listening. Inshallah. Let me just warn you in advance that anything new is by definition uncomfortable to do at first. But stick with it. Inshallah, you will become very successful at it. And believe me, who doesn't want to have a successful meeting? Everybody, right? So this is something that is something which Islam teaches us. And like all things Islamic, you don't need to be a Muslim to practice this. Anybody who practices shura will benefit from being able to run very successful consultative decision-making meetings. In my view, this is one of the best ways of da'wah, not by giving lectures, but by teaching Islamic methods which work for everybody. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ نَسْتَغِيثُ أَصْلِحْ لَنَا شَأْنَنَا كُلَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنتَ ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة